Hi, this is Jack Bond, and I'm with Ed Burns today, and we're coming to you on the Talking Data podcast. So we're going to talk today about a PBS show that had to do with big data. I think it was called The Human Face of Big Data, and it's certainly been interest to our beat for a few years. Some of the things showing up on the show are topics that we've covered in the past. There's an individual, Jared Thorpe, who's a data artist rather than a data scientist. He's appeared in our pages, and there was a discussion of the use of smartphones to use big data to track potholes in the city of Boston. That's something we've covered, and so we made a point, or Ed did, of sitting down and watching. And I guess I'd like to get your point of view, Ed, in terms of, you know, what did the show get right?
I think it got a few things right. It covered a lot of territory. It was obviously for more of a general audience, so it wasn't trying to give you the really specific lowdown on specific big data technologies. But it did give some examples that I thought of really, really interesting use cases for big data. They talked to one researcher who was studying respiratory patterns of newborns in the neonatal and intensive care units in hospitals, and she was trying to identify potentially problematic respiratory patterns to see when doctors need to intervene in these cases. And obviously, it sounds like there's some pretty significant potential there. There was another researcher who tracked where and when his son learned new words as he was learning how to talk. And there's sort of, for years, there's been this perception that babies acquire new words just through repetition, hearing words over and over again. But what he found was that it had more to do with context, the places where his child was when he spoke his first words, and how often words were repeated in different rooms throughout the house. I thought that was kind of interesting, giving us a new insight into something that a lot of people just took as second nature for a really long time, and finding that what we believe was second nature is not quite as we had thought. They also talked a little bit about genomic data, understanding individuals' genomes and personalizing treatments for their specific genomic information. I think that there's a lot of potential there. I think that it's probably somewhat off in the future. They even acknowledged in the show that right now it's still maybe a little bit too expensive to sequence someone's entire genome, but that the price has just consistently fallen farther and farther and farther, and we're probably getting to a point where it will be feasible to sequence more people's genomes. And once we have that information, it seems like the sky is the limits for what types of treatments we can develop that are personalized for individuals.
Did they mention Hadoop?
There was no mention of Hadoop. And that was one of my, one of the problems that I had with the show. Like I said, it was for a more general audience. But at the same time, they didn't mention any of the technologies that are involved in big data. And you and I know from our coverage that's a huge part of the game, right?
They had things they got right, the good examples of using big data for positive results. I'm wondering if there were any pitfalls or potholes on the road that you saw.
Well, there definitely were, and there were some areas that I think that the show kind of missed an opportunity to talk about. Obviously, like I was just saying, they didn't really talk about the technology, which is a huge part of it. But then just some more of the basic fundamental questions the show didn't really grapple with. And so I'm thinking about, for example, they mentioned the example of Google flu trends as a positive example of what big data can do. But in the last couple of years, it's been shown that Google Flu Trends does not actually predict flu trends with any greater accuracy than the CDC's traditional modeling methods. And so I think that, Google Flu Trends is actually an example of big data not living up to its promise. I mean, when you see researchers and statisticians applying statistical models to sample data, that's kind of the antithesis of big data, you know? And when we see that type of really traditional method outperforming big data, I think it's kind of a sign that maybe big data isn't all that they're making it out to be. Another problem that I saw that they didn't really talk about is this idea of the digital divide. They also talked about how, like you mentioned in the opening, this pothole tracking app that the city of Boston puts out. And so the idea is that people can download an app to their smartphones, and as they're driving around in their car, the app will record any sudden jarring motions and record that as a pothole. And the idea is that the city will go out and fix that. But as I was hearing about this, I was thinking, not everyone has smartphones, and there are pretty significant differences in areas of the city. The obviously less prosperous areas of the city are less likely to have people with smartphones than the more prosperous parts of the city. So, like you just mentioned, does Beacon Hill deserve to have its potholes filled more than Savin Hill? I'm not really sure that it does, but if we're relying entirely on technology adoption to guide these types of processes, it seems like there could be some trouble down the line.
Okay, well, it's our job and our adventure sometimes to cover the technology, but we appreciate that we can touch on the ethical issues, because I think the profession of data analytics and the profession of data management both need to be aware of these kind of things. We thought the show, which was called The Human Face of Data, would be worth a look-see if it comes to a theater near you. So that's Jack Plump again with Ed Burns on the Talking Data podcast. Looking forward to seeing you next time.